Back in March of this year, I preached a sermon on the parable of the prodigal son titled The Prodigal Play. You may remember it. It was a little unusual. In that sermon, you, the congregation, were to imagine that you were auditioning for a play, and I was the casting director. There were four roles up for audition: the Pharisee, the younger son, the father, and the older brother. After a discussion of all four of those roles, the personalities and the traits of each one of them, and as the play was about to start, you were asked a question. What character were you going to play this week? Our gospel writer Luke, whether it was in the parable of the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the dishonest manager, or today's gospel text and the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, begs the question without actually asking the question: which one are you? Which character will you play this week? Jesus tells these parables and others to help reveal something about the behavior and the attitude of the people who are listening, then and now. These parables reveal the inner thoughts of those around him, thoughts that they believed were hidden from view, only to be revealed through the stories, because Jesus knows all, knows the inner thoughts and the desires of those around him. And so today we have a parable about two men, two entirely different men, a Pharisee and a tax collector. One esteemed for his religious conviction and the other despised for his profession of cheating people on their taxes. But the question that we should be asking ourselves about this parable are these. Is it about the men? Is it about prayer? Is it about self-righteousness? What is Jesus trying to tell his listeners and us? The parable begins about two men going up to the temple to pray. You may notice that the Pharisee is listed first and takes the prominent position. In our mindset, prayer is more of a private devotion. And going to church to pray is not unheard of, though it's not as common as one might think. In biblical times and in the Middle East, it was a different thing altogether. A sacrifice was offered twice a day, once at dawn and once about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a very common phrase that going to temple to pray was used for going to worship as well as private prayer. Being that they were both going at the same time to the temple, we can assume that they were going to worship. During their morning or afternoon service, after the sacrifice was offered at the altar in the outer court, the priest would then enter into the inner court and offer incense and trim the lamps. This then would provide a time during which the worshipers would offer their own private prayers in the outer court outside. We have an example of this in Luke chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, when Zechariah is in the temple performing his temple duties. It says, he was chosen by lot to enter into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. So this is the time of private prayer that is the setting for our parable this morning. And so the Pharisee, standing by himself, set apart from all the other common worshipers, not wanting to take a chance that he should touch one of them and become defiled and ritually unclean, prays his prayer. The normal practice of the time was to pray out loud, so all the others around him would have heard his prayer, including the tax collector. Prayer for a pious first century Jew closely resembles our prayer models for today. We talked about one model or acronym recently in a sermon just a couple weeks ago. and it was the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. The Jews had an abbreviated version of this that included three of the four types: confession of sin, thanksgiving for blessings received, and petitions or supplications for themselves or others. If you take a look at the Pharisees' prayer, however, it included none of these. No confession of sin, no real or genuine thanksgiving, and no requests or supplications for help. Rather, it's just a list of qualifications of how righteous he is compared to those around him, especially compared to the tax collector. Not only does he fulfill the law and its requirements, but he surpasses them. The law set down by God through Moses in Leviticus 23, verse 27, requires fasting only once a year on the Day of Atonement, when a scapegoat was sent off into the desert to make atonement for the sins of the people of Israel. The Pharisee is fasting twice a week, greatly exceeding what God had commanded. In parallel to this, he's doing the same thing with his tithing. God commanded tithing on grain, wine, and oil only, again from the book of Leviticus. The Pharisee is tithing on everything, greatly exceeding the requirements given by God, proving his self-righteousness. Now the tax collector, in sharp contrast to all of this, is standing far off, but for a different reason. He is not the self-righteous man of the Pharisee, but a broken sinner, his head held down low, not worthy to stand with God's people before the altar. His hands are closed into fists, not arms crossed over his chest in the traditional method of prayer in the Middle East, but his hands, his fists are beating his chest, a sign of anguish and sorrow. Women customarily beat their chest at funerals, but men do not. For men, it is a gesture of extreme sorrow and anguish, and it is almost never used. It is never mentioned in the Old Testament, and only mentioned twice in the New, here and at the cross. We are told in Luke chapter 23, verse 48, that all the crowd went home from Golgotha, beating their chests. The crowd naturally, including men and women. It takes the magnitude of the Savior of the world dying on the cross to evoke this sort of response from Middle Eastern men. Yet, we see it here in the tax collector. Why the chest? Why beat the chest? We turn to Matthew 15 for the answer. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. Our heart is what defiles us. Extreme sorrow over the sin that lies within their hearts is what caused the crowd at Golgotha to beat their chests. They killed the Son of God. The tax collector understood years ago what the Pharisee didn't, what many of the world today does not. Sin lies in our hearts. And in recognition of this fact, all the tax collector could do was to please God in all, to plead to God in all humbleness for mercy. The tax collector had nothing to offer, no achievements, no righteousness of his own, only remorse and sorrow over his sin. And Jesus said that he went down to his house justified, righteous in the sight of God. Notice that in verse 14, the Pharisee is referred to as the other, downgraded, no longer mentioned first, and he went home with his sins unforgiven. So which one are you? Which character will you play this week? Pharisee or tax collector? I think too often our response is, thank God, I'm not like that Pharisee. But in thinking like that, we are just like him. We have separated ourselves from others. And that's where our battle really begins, with our sinful nature. It's hard for our sinful nature not to compare, especially if it's disguised as gratefulness. I'm so happy I don't have the issues so-and-so has. But let's face it, we are all sinners. I have issues, you have issues, we all have issues. That's one of the first things I learned as a pastor. Even those who look like they have it all together on the outside can be a huge mess on the inside. But I also believe that because you are sitting in the pews here today, you have the start of a great foundation. And you know a creator and a redeemer God that has proven he is capable of anything. So come here every week with a humble, repentant heart, ready to pray, to worship, to fellowship with other sinners. Be in the Word, Sunday school, Bible study. Know that Christ fulfilled the law perfectly, so we don't have to. There are no legal requirements for fasting, for tithing, and so on. You don't have to fulfill those things as a requirement. We get to do those things in a response to God's love for us. We have no works righteousness of our own. Only the righteousness we put on through the robe of Christ's body and blood, won for us on the cross those many years ago. So which one are you? On any given day, there's a chance that you will be probably the Pharisee, the tax collector, or both. Thanks be to God that he loves us no matter which character we slip into. Loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Considering this great sacrifice, be humble so that you will be exalted. Our works are but filthy rags compared to the unsurpassing love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.